Well, good morning. We are in Ephesians chapter 6. So open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be in verses 5 through 9 this morning. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that's contained, all the wisdom in your word. And Lord, we're grateful that you speak to everyday issues. That you're interested in every detail of our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would, in fact, be the Lord of every detail in our lives. Lord, bless your people this morning. Encourage your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's say the average life expectancy is 75 years. How does the average person spend those 75 years? Well, on average, you'll spend 25 years of those 75 years sleeping. And then, on average, you'll spend 11 years of those 75 years watching TV. Can you imagine so much time spent on that and how much more productive your life could be? Women will spend 136 solid days getting ready. Guys will spend 46 days getting ready because we're slobs. How many years of your 75 years will you work? Well, 40-hour work weeks, beginning at age 20 all the way to through 65. It's estimated right around 10 solid years of your life. Now, that doesn't sound like a whole lot, but most of us this morning are here in the work years, and we spend a lot of our time at work. If you spend 40 hours every week at work, you're spending 36% of your waking hours every week working. If you're working 50 hours, then you're spending 45% of your waking hours working. If you're working 60 hours a week, then you're spending 54% of your waking hours each week working. That's a big chunk of time, isn't it? And that's a big, big part of our lives. Now, Christian, do you think the Lord cares about that chunk of time in your life? Do you think the Lord cares about your work? He most certainly does. The Lord cares about every area of our life. And he wants you to be blessed in your work, what you do. Look at our text this morning. Look what we find out about work. Verse 5, Ephesians chapter 6. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Now, here you see Paul using the terms bond servant and master, And these are obviously terms of slavery, something which is despicable, but unfortunately it was something that was very common in the days in which the New Testament was written. The institution of slavery back then was widely accepted. In fact, it's estimated that there were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire, one-third of the populations of large cities such as Rome, Corinth, and Ephesus were slaves. So Paul is speaking to that issue that was prevalent in his day. Now, sometimes the Bible is criticized. Some people say that the Bible condones slavery, or critics get upset that Paul doesn't criticize the institution of slavery here. Listen, the Bible does not condone slavery. This passage is not condoning slavery. This is a passage that speaks to the conditions of the society in which it was written. When this was written, slavery was accepted. When this was written, there were millions of slaves. When this was written, many slaves were coming to Christ. And many slave masters were coming to Christ. And Paul spoke to them in their situation how they should behave. Now, some would say, well, why didn't Paul speak out against the institution of slavery? It's evil. He did better. He preached the gospel so that people's hearts would be changed and they would become people who would abolish the evil institution of slavery. Listen, whenever the Christian faith goes forward into a society, the society changes for the better. Some of the greatest Christians in all of history are the ones that were used to abolish slavery. As people's hearts are changed, the institutions change. We read in history of great revivals in certain cities where all the bars and nightclubs and strip clubs were shut down. Why? Because there was no demand. So Paul didn't become a political activist. He didn't stand and march in protest against the evils of society. He preached the gospel. And by the way, I'm much more interested in preaching the gospel as well. I think as people's hearts are changed by Jesus Christ, then these ills in society will change. I'd much rather preach the gospel than become a political activist. But today, obviously, thank the Lord, there is no slavery in our society. But we can readily apply this passage to the employer-employee relationship. And so you can change the word, bondservants, employees, masters, employers. So let's first consider the employees, how Christians should behave at work. You're in the workplace, you have a manager or a boss that you answer to. How are you to behave on a day-by-day basis in the workplace? Well, look what it says in verse 5. Bondservants or employees, be obedient to those who are your managers, your bosses, those you answer to. Christian in the workplace, you are to be obedient to your superior. This is the same word that we studied last week when it speaks of children being obedient to parents. This is the Greek word hupakouo. Hupakouo is a Greek word that simply means to hear under. As an employee, as a Christian employee, you are to hear under your manager at work. And that means that you are to recognize that you are under that authority. Your manager, your boss, is over you in authority. You're under them. That means you should willingly take a place of submission to your boss, to your manager. And then, of course, remember that word means to listen intently. You are to listen intently to the instructions that your manager gives you. This is a very strong word. Remember, it speaks of the way a soldier would listen to the commanding officer before going out on the battlefield. You are to listen to your manager, and then, of course, you are to carry out those instructions, and you are to do it to the very best of your ability. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as Christians, we should be the best employees on the face of the planet, obeying those who are in authority over us in the workplace. I actually believe that Christians should be the best at whatever they do, don't you? We should be the best accountants, the best doctors, the best musicians, the best lawyers, the best landscapers, the best teachers, the best businessmen and women. We do what we're told, and we do it in a spirit of excellence, in complete obedience to those who are in charge of us in the workplace. Now, the only exception to that would be if you have a boss who would tell you to do something that's unethical, illegal, something that would clearly go against the Word of God. The Bible is clear as Christians, we are to obey God rather than man. And so if you're ever in a situation where you have a manager telling you something to do that's obviously wrong, you should respectfully voice your dissent and then endure the consequences, patiently putting your case in the hands of God. But other than that, you're to be obedient. And I want you to notice an important detail here. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters. And then look at verse 6, not with eye service, as men pleasers. Now, what does that mean? You are not to be obedient. You're not to work at your job with eye service only. What does that mean? That simply means that you are to be working hard. You are to be doing your job diligently, responsibly, at all times, even when the boss's eyes aren't upon you. Don't be the guy, don't be the gal who's all in when the boss is in the office. And then the boss leaves and it's time to play ping pong on your computer. Or you start chit-chatting around by the water cooler. I remember when I was in gym class as a kid, our instructor would have us do the push-ups. Down, up, down, up. And the instructor would walk around us in a circle. And whenever her back was towards us, we'd lay there and rest. Down, up, down, up. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Don't be that gal. And please remember that the eyes of the Lord are upon you. So, we are called to be obedient. We are called to be productive. We are called to be committed to that high work ethic. And I just want you to know, brother and sister in Christ, that will be your strongest witness in the office. You will be a witness for Christ if you behave like that. You will stand out. You will be the employer that, or the employee that everyone can rely upon. You will be the employee that's bringing solutions to the table, not just problems. You will be the employee that is willing to work the extra hours at crunch time with a good attitude. People will make note. You know, a lot of Christians think at work that's the time to witness and share the gospel and read the Bible and pray. That's not the time for you to be reading your Bible at work. While you're at work, you're to work and be the best worker, and you will earn the right to share your faith. People will want to know what's up with you. And then you will have opportunity to share Christ with people on your break, after hours, on lunch. But the best, most effective witness that you can be right there in your office is to be the best worker. Look at the attitude. Now look at our attitude at work. Folks, attitude is absolutely essential. Attitude is so important. W. Clement Stone said, "There is very little difference in people, but that little difference makes a big difference. The little difference is attitude. The big difference is whether it is positive or negative." Christian employee, what is your attitude to be at work? Well, look what it says in verse 5. Bondservants, employees, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. With what? With fear and trembling. That means you are to revere your boss. You are to honor them. You are to hold your manager in high regard. You are to respect them. You say, "Terry, it's so hard to respect that guy or to respect that gal." Respect the office. You, as a Christian employee, should respect that position of authority, honor. So, don't talk bad about your boss. Don't bash him or her with the other employees. Man, don't post nasties about your manager on Facebook. You know, I see people, I see friends, I see acquaintances, and they'll post on Facebook, "Oh, my manager's an idiot," or, "I work with a bunch of idiots." What are you, crazy? You don't think people catch that? You don't think that maybe even future potential employers maybe looking at your Facebook activity before they hire you? I mean, come on. Honor that manager. Respect him. Respect her. Notice else what it says there. Attitude. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart. That means you be honest. You be sincere. The Greek phrase means a singleness of mind. So the idea is you're working hard for your manager, you're respecting him, and you're doing that with honesty. There's no double motives. There's no ulterior motives. You're not the employee at work that's trying to butter up the boss or manipulate the boss or play the political games with the boss. You're at work to do your job and to do your job well. And that's your singular focus. By the way, at work, you should be dedicated to what you are being paid to do. I remember working with a lady who was spending several hours every day selling her Amway products. Hours on the phone doing her network thing. By the way, she got fired for that. So, a singleness of mind, an integrity, a respect. And then look what it says in verse 7. With good will doing service. That literally would mean with cheerfulness, with pleasantness, with friendliness. This is putting on your best customer service smile. This is being as positive and cheerful and friendly as you can. So that's what we as Christian employees are called to be in the workplace. Obedient, always, not just when they're looking. Respectful, cheerful, a singleness of mind. Now, I know what many of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, and I've had them too. You're thinking, you don't know my boss. That's El Chapo or El Creepo. La Creepa, you know. So you have no idea who my boss is. They're so difficult. Unfair. Mean-spirited. Here's the key, Christian, and listen carefully. Here's the key. Remember who your real boss is. Remember who your real boss is. Christian, your real boss is Jesus. Your real manager is Jesus Christ. And do your job unto him. I mean, look what Paul says here in the text. Verse 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to whom? As to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord. And not to men. Christian, you're working for the Lord. You're wanting to please the Lord. You are serving the Lord at work. And you keep that in mind. You know, and everything that we do in this life should be that which is something that glorifies the Lord, that honors him. It's your act of worship to him. Remember who your real boss is. Gerald Hopkins says, it's not only prayer that gives God glory, but work. Smiting on an anvil, sawing a beam, whitewashing a wall, driving horses, sweeping, everything gives God glory if being in his grace, you do it as your duty. To go to church worthily gives God great glory, but to take food in thankfulness and temperance gives him glory too. To lift up the hands in prayer gives God glory, but a man with a dung fork in his hand, a woman with a slop pail gives him glory too. He is so great that all things give him glory, if you mean they should. Another Bible commentator says, It is possible for the housewife to cook a meal as if Jesus Christ were going to eat it, or to spring clean the house as if Jesus Christ were to be the honored guest. It is possible for teachers to educate children, for doctors to treat patients and nurses to care for them, for solicitors to help clients, shop assistants to serve customers, accountants to audit books, and secretaries to type letters, as if in each case they were serving Jesus Christ. Do it all for the Lord. Do your work as unto the Lord. And check it out. Very clear here. The Lord will reward you. The Lord sees. The Lord will reward you. Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. So now we oftentimes have bosses in this life that are unfair, or they're forgetful, or they don't recognize hard work, or they get manipulated by other employees that do the whole happy hour thing after work with them, you know, the good old boys club. And in this life, there's a lot of injustices in the workplace. But, listen, you work for the Lord, and he sees. And it says right there that you're going to be rewarded. The Lord doesn't forget. The Lord knows who's working hard. The Lord knows who isn't. The Lord knows who's working only when the boss is around. The Lord knows all these things. And listen carefully. He will reward or not reward. And he's absolutely fair, and he sees. Work for him. Do it all as to him. You know, there are so many rewards to work. If you're that hard worker, the Lord will see, and he's going to take care of you and your family, provide those needs. I believe that if you are a good worker and you're seeking the Lord, most cases you are going to be one of the most positive parts of your company or your office, and nobody wants to get rid of that. I believe you'll be blessed in your work. And I believe that God will also give us satisfaction in our work as we do it for him. By the way, you do know that work is not the result of the curse, right? You know, a lot of people think, oh, we fell into sin in the Garden of Eden and now we have to work. It's a part of the curse. No, we were working before the fall. In the Garden of Eden, the result of the curse is that work has become harder and more frustrating, and the weeds grow quicker and easier than the grass, right? And we eat by the sweat of our brow. But work is not the curse. Work can be a blessing, and God wants to bless that area of your life. I also believe that the scripture teaches that we'll be working in the next life. Jesus Christ is coming again, and he will set up a kingdom, and I believe the Bible clearly teaches a millennial kingdom, an actual reign of Jesus Christ upon the earth. He'll be reigning and ruling. And I believe that we as Christians will be reigning and ruling with him. And who knows, maybe he'll give us different areas of the globe. I've told people that I've already put in for Hawaii, so you're not allowed to take that. There will be work in the millennium. There will be places of administration in
the kingdom. And the Bible says that those who have been faithful with the little things, like those little tasks we do at work, will be given greater things. You will be rewarded. You can count on that. So, Christian employee, this is what the Lord expects of you. Okay, now let's talk to the employers, the managers. Maybe you're here this morning and you're the manager, you're the owner. Or maybe you have a little bit of both. And I think maybe that's true for a lot of people. You're a manager, but then you also have a manager. Well, let's consider the Christian employer, the Christian who is in charge of other people. Look what it says in verse 9. And you masters, bosses, managers, owners, do the same things to them. Do the same things to them. Now, that can mean one of two things. Number one, it can mean you as a manager, be sure to treat your employees the way that you would want to be treated in that very situation. It can also mean, and I think it more accurately means this, employers, managers, should mimic also exactly what the employees are said to do. You're to do the same things as the employees. And number one, that would mean you work hard. You work hard, and you're not an service person either. Managers should work hard. Those who are in charge should work hard. In fact, the scripture says leadership, good leadership, is servant leadership, right? So as the manager, as the person in the charge, that's not for you to just sit around and order people around. A good Christian boss is working hard. And it's evident. And having a good attitude, treating your employees with respect, having a singleness of mind. Being cheerful, friendly, pleasant. Christian manager. There are two specific things, I think, that are mentioned here for masters, for bosses. You masters do the same things to them, giving up what? Giving up what? Threatening. That means if you're in charge, you are not to be harsh with those who work for you. You're not to abuse them. You're not to exploit them. You're not to act like you're a slave master cracking the whip. Your goal shouldn't be to come in and intimidate everyone in your office. That is not the way for a Christian boss. Now, do you have to be firm at times? Absolutely. Do you have to be clear in the instructions, and does there have to be repercussions for those who don't follow through? Absolutely. But you can be Christian and tender and respectful in those capacities. Good Christian bosses should be careful to pay fair wages and benefits, to care about the employees' illnesses, to be concerned for their marriages, for their children, for their education and future. Manager, a good Christian manager, listen, a good owner You're doing that for the Lord, and not only for your own family and for your own connections, but also for your employees and their families and their children and their futures. You're more accountable because God has entrusted other souls into your care. Are you Christian with them? Are you an example of Christ to them? Do you care about them? Notice what else it says. Giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Specifically, bosses, owners, managers, the Bible says you remember your boss in heaven, and you remember that there is no partiality with him. There's no favoritism in him. And so by implication then, if you're a manager, you better not show partiality. You better not show favoritism with the employees that are under your care. You better be fair. You better be objective. Don't you let the good old boys club happen where you work and where you're in charge. You have clear expectations for every one of the folks that work for you. If they meet those expectations, they are rewarded. If they don't, they're not. It's fair. It's equitable. The worst thing, the worst way to decrease the morale in the office would be to elevate the ones that don't deserve it because they're your friends. Not elevating the ones who deserve it. Very important. Paul says to the managers, knowing that you have a master too. Folks, that is the key on both sides. Whether you're the employee or the employer, if you're a Christian, remember who the real boss is. And if you are a manager, you remember that ultimately you will give an account to the Lord. He's your boss. Christian, God wants to bless your work. Your work matters to God. Take to heart what the Lord has called you to be. Obey that. And watch him bless you. And also, by the way, as you excel in the workplace, that's going to give you more and more opportunity to share why, to share the gospel. I can't stress this enough. The world needs desperately to see responsible, hardworking men and women who work with integrity. And if you're a Christian, you need to be that man, that woman. Let people see. So, Lord, I pray that you would use us as your people at work. Father, I pray that you would correct any part of our life in the workplace that has gotten off track. Lord, I pray that we would serve you in everything that we do. Father, I want to pray for those this morning who are really struggling with their job. Just struggling. Father, I pray that you would even now begin to do a mighty work in that very office. in that place of work through your people. And Lord, as much as it depends upon us, I pray that we as your people would never be a part of the problems in the office, but we would be the solutions. Lord, I ask that we would be able to submit and obey and give respect even to those difficult people. Lord, doing so out of obedience to you, recognizing that you are our ultimate authority. Lord, change our attitudes. And by changing our attitudes, Lord, I pray that the whole attitude of the office would change. Lord, I ask that you would bless the work of your people. I ask that we would all diligently seek you and include you in this part of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.